I've been really surprised at how many people who listen to this podcast have reached out to me about having me speak at their events. I love that. And here's why. Over the last 13 years, I've had the honor to help hundreds of companies like Nissan, Walmart, Microsoft, and Comedy Central at events around the world. And during that time, I've developed three big goals for your event. Number one, I want to slingshot your audience into the best year they've ever had. Whether I'm opening, closing, or somewhere in the middle of the event, I want to launch everyone out of that room with actionable, memorable things that they can apply to their work and lives immediately. Number two, my second goal, I want the sound team engaged and laughing. The sound team has heard it all. They have. And if I can make them laugh and learn along the way, the audience is going to absolutely love the keynote. And number three, my third goal, I want you to get text messages during the keynote. My favorite sentence to hear from you after I speak is, "John, my phone was blowing up during your keynote." I'm there to make you look like a rock star, not me. If your boss texts you during my speech and compliments you on how well the event is going, then I know I've done my job. Whether it's virtual or live, 10,000 people in an arena, or 15 sales team members on WebEx or Zoom or Microsoft Teams, I'd love to help you with your next event. Fill out the quick form at acuff.me/speaking to check my availability. That's acuff, acuff.me/speaking. Hey everyone, and welcome to the All It Takes a Goal podcast. If you're new around here, I'm a late bloomer who discovered the power of goals in his mid-30s. Now I'm on a furious mission to create the accelerators I wish I had in my 20s. I'm your host, John Acuff, and today we're talking about the simple way to stop complicating your goals. This is a huge issue. Have you ever felt like you get into the beginning of a goal and it's way more complicated than you thought? Or before you even start, you overfocus on all the complications, all the work, and it makes you want to not do it? Like maybe that's why you're procrastinating. It's just so complicated. I'm going to tell you how to change that today. One of the biggest pushbacks I hear from people when I suggest a new goal for them is, the goal is too complicated. I'll say, hey, what if you tried this? What if you walked around the neighborhood? What if you wrote a little? What if you decluttered a little? Whatever. The goal can be anything. I'll say, what if you tried this goal? And they'll go, it's too complicated. And this one is really interesting to me because we often say it before we even try the goal. Here's what it looks like in my own life. A friend will say to me, hey, you know, John, you speak to a lot of big companies. I bet they'd like to buy some training from you after you do a keynote at one of their events. And then I will reply, I don't know. I don't want to have to hire trainers. Where would I even find trainers that I trust who I think are fire? It's so hard to hire right now. Plus, I'd have to worry about their flight schedules and create curriculum. And how would I even pay the trainers? Who is selling this, by the way? I don't have a sales team. And what if the client doesn't like the training? How would I handle customer service? What would the branding look like? Could I use content from my books without getting my publisher involved? Or would I need to get their permission to use the content? I don't understand how copyright law works either. What would I name the training? If that feels long-winded, it's because it is. But here's what I'm saying. The goal is too complicated. The goal is too complicated. Before I've taken a single step, I've predetermined that it would be too complicated. Have you ever done that? Have you ever pushed back with excuses of complication before you've even tried the goal for 30 seconds? But let's say it happens like this. A spouse says, I wish we could park our car in the garage. You've got a garage so full of stuff, and maybe it rains all the time where you live. Like in Nashville, it rains a ton. Maybe you have hackberry trees and there's an aphid that puts some sort of weird sap all over your car in the summer and the spring. That's a very specific reference to my exact driveway. But maybe your spouse says, hey, I wish we could park our car in the garage. And you say, where would we store all this stuff? I don't have any time on the weekend to do this. I'd have to call my sister and see if she wants any of mom's old stuff that we're storing in here. I don't even have the right containers for most of this junk. I could sell it on Facebook Marketplace, but I've never really used that before. I'm not familiar with Facebook Marketplace, and I don't want to have some weirdo with a wispy mustache coming to our house. Which books would I get rid of? I mean, we have a lot of books. I'd have to edit my books in the garage. We'd have to sort through all of them. You haven't filled up a single small trash bag with old junk, and you're already throwing up a hurricane of complications. Any of this feel familiar? This comes down to a very simple fear. Here's the fear that's behind this complication. It's the fear of inadequacy. Another way to say it is, I'm afraid I won't be up to the challenge. Instead of dealing with our own insecurities, we point the finger at the challenge, cover it in complexity, and then give up. And here's what you need to know. If you face a situation like this, you might not be up to the challenge at first. Those last two words are the most important. At first. No one is ever up to every single challenge at first. No one can handle every single complexity at first. No one can handle every single obstacle at first. But finishers believe in the land of eventually. And what I mean by that is eventually, if I stay faithful to the work, I will be up to the task. Eventually, if I continue to be brave, this won't feel so scary. Eventually, my skills will overcome this complication. And this isn't Pollyanna hope either. This is real life. I am able to do things in my speaking career today that I couldn't do 15 years ago. I can step on stage in front of 10,000 people and have fun. I can enjoy that moment. I can do a 45-minute virtual keynote in front of a camera crew and a really important client without a single audience member in the room and still have the delivery and energy as if I'm speaking to 10,000 people live. I can present to a room full of hedge fund managers worth hundreds of millions of dollars and still hold their attention. Could I have done any of those things on day one? Of course not. But I didn't have to. That's the myth. There's a myth at play here. Fear tells you that you have to deal with every possible complication on day one. You don't. They come at you over time. And each time you defeat one, it gets easier to defeat the next. You develop skills, systems, and teams that allow you to face bigger and bigger and bigger complications. Sometimes would-be authors will say to me, I want to write a book, but I don't have a big enough platform and I don't know how to grow one. Because platforms feel complicated, right? I agree, they are. They're complicated to me. But you don't need to grow a massive platform before you write. You don't. That's not a before activity. You can start writing right now without a platform. Let me say that again. You don't need a platform to write a book. You need a platform to sell a book. And we'll sell that book eventually. And you know who will be ready? You. You will be up to the challenge if you face your fear of inadequacy. That's what's really fun. By the time you get to that challenge in the future, you're a different person. That's not today use issue. That's a year from now use issue. Like, and a year from now, you'll have more skills. You'll have more tools. You'll have more courage if you stay faithful to this. But fear puts all the complications on day one. And what I want you to know is you don't have to deal with those today. You don't even have to deal with them tomorrow. You don't even probably have to deal with some of them for months. I'll use another writing example because that's what I do. And so I get a lot of questions about that. People say to me, I want to write more online, but I'm afraid people will steal my ideas. What if they steal my work? The work doesn't even exist yet. And you're worried about the complication of somebody discovering it someday and it being so good that they steal it. You don't have to worry about that today. So as you think about the goals you're working on, maybe it's fitness goals. This reminds me of this joke I heard Nate Bargatze do before where he said, his friend said, I don't want to get in shape because then I'd have to buy new clothes. Like I'd have to get a new wardrobe. And he did this really funny bit of like, you haven't worked out yet. You haven't even done a single push-up. And you're like, yeah, I just know I'm going to get so swole that I'll probably have to buy some new clothes. I can just tell based on how I feel that if I go down that path, I'll just get so ripped. I hear people say that with side hustles about business. I'll have people say, well, I'd love to do a side hustle, but I don't want to become a workaholic. I don't want to abandon my family. And I'll think, you haven't done anything yet. You're already worried about you're going to put 100 hours in every week and abandon your family. How about you just do an hour this week? Like, let's do the simple thing. Don't worry about the complications. I call those good problems. Like, go get some good problems. When somebody says to me, okay, I want to sell something online. I'm thinking about selling this, but what if I sell out? Like, what if I can't fulfill all the orders? That's a good problem. Go get that good problem. You have no sales right now. You currently have zero sales. So it would be wild to not chase this dream because you're afraid of selling out. You haven't sold anything yet. Go get a good problem. Go get a good complicated issue like selling out, like being too busy, like having more work than you can service. Those are good problems. Like needing to buy a new shirt because you're in such good shape. That's a good problem. I've never met somebody, back to that Nate Bargatze joke, who lost so much weight and when they had to buy new clothes, they were disappointed. I've never met somebody who's like, yeah, I was just so mad that I had. No, it's fun. They love doing it. They enjoy that part of it. That's a good problem for future you to deal with. Today you, the one that's listening to this podcast, the one that's going to review this podcast right after this, that's a subtle, subtle hint. Woo. Today you doesn't have to deal with tomorrow you's problems. It doesn't. And tomorrow you is going to have some tomorrow you skills that you don't have right now. So I don't want you to think about all the complications with your goal. If there's something that this has sparked, if you think, you know, I got a financial goal I've been putting off because it feels complicated, you don't have to be a money expert. You don't, like, if I say to you, hey, I think you should kind of take care of some debt, don't go, well, then I'd have to get some sort of, I'm not a debt expert. I don't have an MBA. I don't know how to do like offshore accounting. I couldn't even name the words for that. That's how complicated it feels to me. Offshore accounting, I don't even think that's a thing. I'm trying to get you involved in the Cayman Islands, or make sure you put your money in like a Swiss bank account that they can't track. I don't know anything about any of that, but I do know that I can make better financial decisions today. I do know that I can do simple things today. I do know that I don't need to figure out all of tomorrow's problems before I take today's step. That's my hope for you. Take today's step. Don't let the fear of tomorrow's problems stop you. So, two questions I want you to ask yourself this week. Just two questions, simple ones. Number one, where am I complicating my goals? Is there part of my life where I'm adding complexity that doesn't need to be there? That's question number one. Question number two, where do I feel inadequate with my goals? Because again, this is fear of inadequacy. This is your fear that when it gets complicated, you won't have what it takes. So are there areas of your life where you're really wrestling with inadequacy? And if your wrestle is what happens a year from now, a month from now, what if it gets complicated again? That's tomorrow you's issue. Today you just has to take the first step. Do a little self-exploration and see what's really going on in your goals. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We'll put all the links in the show notes as always. And thank you for reviewing my podcast. The reviews you write are super encouraging. Here's one I recently saw from Paloma on the Rocks. I don't think that's her full name. Paloma on the Rocks. First name Paloma, middle name on the, last name Rocks. But that's how she titled the name portion of this review. She said, John is watching me. True story. I recently did something I was really proud of. That night, I wrote a note to myself on my phone saying, I like who I am becoming, but am I too old to do this now? The next day, I listened to an older episode of All It Takes Is a Goal. And when John read the review at the end, this very question came up. He actually said, I'm telling you, if you're 55 or 56, it's not too late to reach your goals. Well, I'm 55 and will be 56 in a couple of weeks. Message received, John. Isn't that fun when that happens? That's what's fun about a podcast. That was an old episode that was directly related to Paloma on the Rocks. Thank you for writing that. Make sure you subscribe or follow or whatever it is the kids are saying these days. And please write a review. I'll see you next week. And remember, all it takes is a goal.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast and to get access to today's show notes and exclusive content from John Acuff, visit acuff.me/podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast.
I I've been really surprised at how many people who listen to this podcast have reached out to me about having me speak at their events. I love that. And here's why. Over the last 13 years, I've had the honor to help hundreds of companies like Nissan, Walmart, Microsoft, and Comedy Central at events around the world. And during that time, I've developed three big goals for your event. Number one, I want to slingshot your audience into the best year they've ever had. Whether I'm opening, closing, or somewhere in the middle of the event, I want to launch everyone out of that room with actionable, memorable things that they can apply to their work and lives immediately. Number two, my second goal, I want the sound team engaged and laughing. The sound team has heard it all. They have. And if I can make them laugh and learn along the way, the audience is going to absolutely love the keynote. And number three, my third goal, I want you to get text messages during the keynote. My favorite sentence to hear from you after I speak is, "John, my phone was blowing up during your keynote." I'm there to make you look like a rock star, not me. If your boss texts you during my speech and compliments you on how well the event is going, then I know I've done my job. Whether it's virtual or live, 10,000 people in an arena, or 15 sales team members on WebEx or Zoom or Microsoft Teams, I'd love to help you with your next event. Fill out the quick form at acuff.me/speaking to check my availability. That's acuff, A-C-U-F-F.me/speaking.